Colossians chapter number 3 this morning. While you're turning there, I'm going to read to you from two other passages of Scripture. One is found in Galatians 6, verse 2. The Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." Now listen closely. "To them that are without law, as without law," and then he puts in a parenthesis, "being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." He says in Galatians chapter 6 that we ought to bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians 9, he is not without law, but that he is under the law of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, and the which you also walked sometimes when you lived in them, but now ye also put off all of these, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have," here it is now, "put off the old man with his deeds," verse 10, "and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Put off the old man, put on the new man. The old man lives under the law of the world and under the condemnation of the law of God. The new man lives under the law of Christ. I think we miss the reality so many times of what the Christian life really is. We in America and in our day live in an affluent time. In spite of our grumbling and complaining about the economy, this past year I saw millions of dollars dropped on the Super Bowl. I don't know whether any of you watched any of the coverage of that or not, but there were people who were at the Super Bowl spending thousands of dollars for a seat at the top of the stadium where everybody down on the field looked like little specks. Thousands of dollars just for a seat up there. Of course, we're in terrible economic shape. Can you imagine the money that's spent on entertainment in this country every year? On movies and DVDs and on music, and I mean, just can you imagine the amount of money that is spent on those things? And we all need luxury. I hope you heard that. I mean, we all need luxury. We need, you know, when we take a bath, we need for the soap suds to be that high. We need luxury. We need things to be really nice for us. And we want everything to feel good and to run good. Like a king's child that complains about his brother getting the black stallion and he had to end up with the golden mare. Christians in former days knew something about the Christian life. It's a far cry from what we profess to be the Christian life today. I came this morning with a desire to remind you of two main things concerning the life we're to be living that glorifies and honors the Lord. First of all, I want to talk to you about our tasks as Christians. What is ahead of us? Living under the law of Christ being salt in this society, being the saints of God, being called out from among the rest of the world to represent the King of Kings, to be the ones who are called saints, the sanctified ones, what is our task before us? What are the things that we are going to be doing in our lives? The second thing I want to talk to you about is our resources to fulfill our obligations. Where do we get the strength and the wisdom and the power and the ability to do and be who God's called us to do and be? Obviously, from the passage I read to you, there is a law of Christ to be kept. Now listen to me closely. It is true that Christians are not under the law for salvation. We are saved by grace. We are not under the law in order to be saved. You don't keep a law in order to be saved. You'd be surprised at the people who have the idea that keeping the Ten Commandments is what saves you. If that's true, there's nobody saved because no one has ever kept all of the Ten Commandments perfectly all of their lives. And that's what that would entail. That's what would have to happen. Our doing as Christians is not a legal doing. In order to gain favor with God or in order to get salvation from the Lord. But I want to tell you, you don't need to be passive in this. Do not mistake the issue. You do have things to do as a Christian. There is a certain lifestyle that you live as a child of God. We have enemies to fight and conquer. We have trials and conflicts to endure. We have a physical body that is full of weakness and infirmity to deal with. One of the most challenging things I've had in my last few weeks is this ankle problem. And as I said, it slows you down. It makes everything just a little bit more complicated. My wife laughs at me, but you know what? I said to her, the thing that's worse about this is that I feel like I'm appearing feeble in front of people. And I don't feel feeble. I went to the dollar store yesterday and I got two loaves of bread and a couple of boxes of those Keurig coffee cups. And of course, I kind of hopped up to the counter and there's a guy standing behind me and the lady's standing there looking at me and I'm shuffling this stuff around, holding my cane in one hand and all this junk. I should have got a basket, but I was too proud. Anyway, and I'm shuffling all this stuff around, and as I lay it on the counter, the bread falls in the floor. And as I reach down to get the bread, my head hits the counter. And this fellow behind me saying, Can I help you, sir? And I'm saying, no, you can't help me. We got feeble bodies, don't we? Susan and I went out to eat somewhere the other day, and we went out to eat at IHOP, and I went out and started signing the little thing where you put it on your check card. And I signed it in the wrong place. And then I said, I signed it in the wrong place. And the girl looked at me and she said, bless your heart. Bless my heart? That is the ultimate insult for old people. Don't do that to old people. So one of the greatest challenges I'm having right now, the Lord is teaching me some things about dealing with my physical body, some infirmities in my physical body. Listen, we have a body that's been trained in sinful habits and in which sin still abides. It must be brought to heel. I'm talking to you about things that we face and things that we have to do as Christians as we live the Christian life. We have lusts of the mind and of the heart that must be conquered. We have inbred corruptions that have to be subdued. We have temptations to sin to be fought. We have holiness to be pursued and perfected. We have works of charity and works of love that are yet to be performed. We have prayers that are yet unprayed. We have alms that need to be given. We have words of kindness yet to be given. We have love yet to be expressed. We have rebukes to our brothers and our sisters and exhortations that we still have to give to them. We have a witness to the lost around us. We have this life to live. And it's the life that glorifies Jesus Christ. It's what He's called us to do. He's never called us to make it big in the world. He's never called us to have notoriety. He has never called us to be known. He has never called us to be rich. He's never called us to be comfortable. But He's called us to these things. He's called us specifically to holiness of life and a spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, we have a Christian life to live that fulfills the law of love and the law of Christ and brings praise to Christ and glorifies God the Father. That is your task and my task. These are our tasks and a thousand more besides of them. My question to you this morning is, are you up to that? Can you do those things? I think if you're honest and we'll think about them, you'll say, you know, that's a pretty heavy load. As a matter of fact, to do those things as I should do them and genuinely bring glory and honor to Christ and glorify my Heavenly Father, I find it almost impossible. As a matter of fact, when I look within myself, there are no resources within me to get these things done. Again, Susan laughs at me. I spend a lot of time by myself. I spend a lot of time down in the study and... I'm just a talker, I'm sorry. I was talking before I was walking. Isn't that true, Mother? Yes. I'm just a talker. Something goes wrong on my computer, I talk to it. If I drop a piece of paper in the floor, I address it. My pencil breaks, I talk to the pencil. And I don't always say nice things to these things. You see, when I'm looking to myself and what I am in myself, there are no resources to be kind and patient. I asked the Lord, Susan, I was in another room this morning and I said something to something on the wall. And Susan said, what are you talking about? What are you saying? I said, honey, it's all right. It's all right. Number one, I wasn't talking to you. And number two, I've already asked the Lord to forgive me for it. I don't have any resources within me. I am finding I am one of the most impatient people. Now, I've been told that before, but I didn't believe it. But I'm finding out I'm an impatient person. I don't have any resources within me for patience. I don't have any resources in me to be kind. I don't have any resources in me to be filled with joy. So how, if the Lord calls me to fulfill the law of Christ, how on earth do I approach this impossible task? Well, Paul answers that question. Again, we've had one of those moments, Justin. I was thinking, as you were speaking this morning, about what I was going to say to you, because Paul says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you told us to do that this morning. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, that's self, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, that is, sexual immorality. He says, and not in wantonness, not in strife and envying. How do you not do those things? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh so that you would fulfill the lust thereof. Well, then the question that begs answering here this morning is simply this. How does a Christian put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Which brings us back to Colossians chapter 3. Look down at your Bible. Verse number 1. There is a condition. If ye then be risen with Christ, and here's the provision, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now he tells us these things in Colossians chapter number 3. He tells us how we can win over enemies, how we can fight and conquer, how we can be faithful in trials, how we can have a physical body full of weakness and infirmity and yet deal with it. How we can have a body that's trained in sinful habits, in which sin still abides and still bring it to heal. He tells us how we can have lust of the mind and heart, and yet those lust and mind in the mind and heart can be conquered. He tells us even though we have inbred corruptions, they can be overcome. Even though we have temptations to sin, they can be overcome. He tells us how we can have holiness and have holiness perfected in us. He tells us how we can live charitably and prayerfully and give our alms and have words of kindness and love and mercy, and how to reach out to brothers and sisters and how to witness to the lost. How is it we do that? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what Christ is to us. Just stop for a minute and think about what Jesus is to a believer. Christ is our Savior who saves us. Christ is our King who reigns over us. Christ is our elder brother who protects us. Christ is our Redeemer who bought us off the slave block. Christ is our sacrifice. He is our propitiation that secures our acceptance with the Holy God. He is the sacrifice that satisfies God's justice against all our sins. Christ is our mediator. Christ is our advocate. Christ is our lawyer to plead our case before God. Christ is our Lord and Master who owns us and paid for us. Christ is our rock of refuge in a time of trouble. Christ is our rich treasure and our storehouse. Christ is our helper who stands by us in times of need. Christ is our friend and our brother who loves us. Christ is our shepherd who leads us beside still waters and takes us to green pastures. Christ is the water that quenches our thirst. He is the bread that satisfies our hunger. Christ is the light that shows us the way and leads us through the darkness. Christ is our resurrection and life who gives us hope beyond the grave. Christ is all of these things to us. Christ is our eternal God, and He is our storehouse for everything that we could ever possibly need. So how are we to live Christ? How are we to live on Christ? My answer is by drawing on Him Himself. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. Now stop just a minute. That means you've got to do something. There are 1,000,001 Christian people who think that they're made Christians by osmosis. They think they just sit down with a Bible in front of them and just kind of sit there with the Bible in front of them, and it's going to somehow get in their brain. So you got to read it. You got to seek those things that are above. There are 1,000,001 Christians think that if you go to church and sit around God's people, somehow it'll rub off on you. No, you've got to seek those things yourself that are above. Now thank God for community. There is strength in community, and God calls us together. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't think you can be a Spirit-filled Christian and not be part of a local church. I mean, we need each other. Paul says we're the body of Christ, and there's toes here, and there's arms here, and there's eyes here, and there's ears here, and we're part of the body of Christ, and we need one another. But you don't develop as a Christian just sitting in a Christian congregation. You personally have to seek those things that are above. And then he said in verse number 2, you have to set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Let me ask you a question. What do you love? What do you love? What you love will determine your spiritual temperature and your ability to be who you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus. He says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Here's the point of that. Do you know who you love more than anybody else? Yep, You love yourself more than anybody else. That's why Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's no greater standard. If you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you're a great lover. Now listen, why do you love yourself? Brother Mike, it's my life. It's my life. Listen, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. You know what begins to happen when the Lord saves you? There begins a transfer from your old life and your selfishness and your affections being all on you to a new you that is filled with Christ, and now your affections are on the new Christ in you. Christ in you. Now hear me closely. Listen, you have to set your affections there. If you're not careful, you'll be carried away by every red balloon that floats by. Every starry little sprinkly thing that looks interesting, you'll be carried away by that in this old fleshly world. Set your affections on Christ. Verse 5, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Putting on Christ means that you're taking off something else. When I go home this afternoon, I'm going to take this jacket off. I'm going to take this tie off. Now, usually on Sunday afternoons, if I haven't been around someone who's had a lot of perfume on, so I won't kill Susan. My wife's allergic to perfume. I'll take off my tie and I'll take off my coat. And I will relax this afternoon after church. Wouldn't it be foolish if I went home and I kept my coat on and my tie on and I decided to go get my pajamas and put them on top of it. And then tomorrow when I went out, I decided I wanted different clothes on, so I got me a sweater and I put it on top of my pajamas and on top of these clothes. You see, that's what a lot of Christian people are trying to do. They're trying to put Jesus on top of the world. And you can't do that. Put off. Take off, he says. Mortify is actually put to death the members of your body. Not your hands, but what your hands do. Not your eyes, but what your eyes see. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is just wicked living, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. But now, ye also put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and dirty talking out of your mouth and lying to one another. See that you put off the old man, verse 10, and then put on that new man. Put on Christ, which is renewed. How is he renewed? How do you put on Christ? How do you renew your clothes? Which is renewed, here it is, in knowledge. That's what happens. My people are perishing for lack of knowledge, the Bible says. So we are renewed in knowledge. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Our sister said God speaks to you in many ways, and one of those ways is the Word of God. And I would say amen to that. I agree with that 100%. But I would add to that, the major way He speaks to us is through the Word of God. You don't have any context to put anything else in if you don't know the Word of God. So I would say to you that we are renewed in knowledge. And what are we renewed after? We are made after the image of Him that created Him. In other words, as we know more about Jesus and know Him better personally, He makes us more like Him. And we're putting Him on. And only He can live Christian life. Put ye therefore on as the elect of God, holy and beloved, merciful affections, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That's Christ. Forbearing one another. That's Christ. Forgiving one another. That's Christ. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye also. And above all these things, put on love, which is the glue of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you opulently, richly, overflowingly, abundantly, richly. Don't let it just be in you. Let it come through you, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And so how do we put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Put Him on as we fellowship with Him in the Word of God, and as He teaches us what it means to be holy and loving and merciful and kind and humble and meek and forbearing and forgiving. Here it is. Romans 13. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Surround yourself with Christ. Are you listening? Put Christ in your mind. Thank Him for who He is and what He's done for you personally. Put Christ in your home. Pray with one another and worship together. Put Christ on your job. Let Him be your trainer. Don't let your job define you. Let Christ define you. Put Christ in your entertainment. Learn that there's no better refreshment than to be in His presence. Put Christ in your worries. The things that bother you, look at them from His perspective. Let Christ be your all in all. I say to you this morning, let Christ be your life. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the barometer. It's the thermometer of your spiritual life. Either He is your life, or you're struggling to live a Christian life on your own, which is impossible. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. By prayer, by praise, by faith, by love, by confidence, by allowing Him to lead you, by obedience, by serving others, by eating His Word all the time, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Saints, it's the only way. Oh, Brother Mike, I want to live for Jesus. Live in Jesus. Oh, Brother Mike, I want to live for Christ. Live off of Christ. Live on Christ. Feed on Him. He is the bread. He is the drink. He is our sustenance. Get to know your Lord. You'll find Him to be everything you could ever possibly want or need. He'll satisfy us. Listen, throughout all eternity, He will be our satisfaction. Father, I pray this morning You just add Your blessing to Your Word. Oh God, encourage Your saints. Help us as Your people, I pray. Lord, to feed on You. What a delicious meal. What a great sustenance. What a great provision. What a feast, oh God, You are. Lord, thank You for providing Christ for us. Help us, I pray. Thank You again for Your mercies today. Continue to work in us, oh God, for Your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Does anyone have a word this morning before we go?